Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
And here we go with the post-show podcast, post-game podcast. It's a podcast, jackass. What's up?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. So yesterday I was in a doctor's office. I was taking a patient. I took my day off to take a patient, Jerry, to the doctor's.
Didn't you have your rectum checked?
I did not have anything checked, so which was a good feeling. It was nice to
yes.
go to a doctor's office and not have my rectum checked or anything.
Yeah.
But it got me thinking that we still, in this era of privacy and HIPAA laws, there still is a lot that goes on in the doctor's office mm-hmm. waiting room. That doesn't feel...
private?
Yeah.
All right, give me an example.
Right from the start, when you get there and you go up to the doctor, they ask you what you're here for.
Really?
Yeah, because I think what they want to do is, especially like I was in a surgery center, mm-hmm. you know, where they do, yeah. not a hospital, so they're small surgeries.
Yep.
So I think because of many years ago, they were amputating the wrong legs off of people. Now they like ask you a million times what you're there for, so mm-hmm. There's many verifications. So they ask you that, and you're in the waiting room with all these other people. I heard everybody, what everybody
really?
Was there for. Then they ask for, they say, okay, who's driving you home?
Mm-hmm.
And then what is their phone number? Now, if I were a crazy person, because I thought about this, I could have wrote down everybody's phone number.
Absolutely.
And then as soon as their patient went in, I could have texted them, things not looking good. You know what I mean? They would have, I'd say, oh, I'm at the, hi, this is Billy with the, I'm a nursing assistant
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And then I get everybody's phone numbers.
Mm-hmm. If you wanted to do that, I guess you could do that, yes.
Yeah.
That is true.
I don't like that.
I have not been to a surgery center in a while. I know my doctor's office, they do not do that. I tell them on the phone what I'm going in for.
Yeah.
And then you just go in, you check in, sign in, and that's it. But I haven't been to a surgery center, so I don't know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, when I went for my hernias, I guess, and colonoscopies, yes, similar thing, but...
Hi, I'm Al Dukes. I'm here to have my ass sculpted.
Right.
What?
Huh? we got the ass sculper is in the waiting room. Let's go. It just doesn't feel private.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally understand.
The other places where I think you have lack of privacy, where there should be full privacy, is at a pharmacy.
Yes, depending upon the medicine you're getting, for sure.
Right, because I've heard them go, picking up prescription for Dukes. Okay, and they're looking for it. They go, what was it for? But what if it was for, like,
genital warts.
Yeah. What if it was for Viagra? What if it was for VD medicine? What if it was for Zoloft or Prozac? I don't want to yell out what I'm getting my medicine for.
Not great. Not great. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm sure you've heard this once, twice, or a thousand times. I hit the golf ball off a tree and hit myself in the face.
It did hit your head. Yeah, I heard.
So I ended up at the hospital for stitches.
Yeah.
They did it in the hallway. I mean, you want to talk about lack of privacy? Now, in fairness to them, they did tell me they were very busy and it was going to be a very long time, or they could probably do it right there much quicker. It was up to me. I said, I don't care who's watching, just do it.
Yeah.
But the fact that that's an option
yes.
is hilarious to me.
And, like, what if it was your scrotal sack? You wouldn't have done that in the hallway.
No, I would not have.
Even if they gave you the option.
Yeah, I would not have. You're not kidding.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was very unprivate for me.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well. And then they leave you there. It's like you're just sitting there, stitches in your face. Yeah. Oh, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Can I go now? Yeah. But I've noticed that, like, they ask you so many times throughout the process of why you're here.
Yeah.
And what are we doing for you today? Oh, you're doing my
hernia. I do like that part of it, though.
Yeah.
So that they know exactly what they're doing and on what body part they're doing it on.
Yes.
Because I know those, listen, there are probably millions of surgeries done every month. I get that. And the one time, and which one too many, the one time they take the wrong leg off, it's obviously a huge story.
Yeah.
That having been said, if we can avoid that one time by asking a couple of extra questions, that's fine by me.
And I remember even when I went for my hernia surgery, when they did that, they go, what are we here for? The hernia surgery. Okay. And which side? Right side. Okay. Let's mark that. And they would put an X right by my, where they're going to do the hernia surgery. So they really, they're leaving nothing. You know what? Because there's so many people involved.
That's a bad one, though. What if the doctor then says, ooh, an X, not this side?
Oh, I thought the X meant...
Don't touch this side. It's the other side.
Right. Right. That, okay, yeah.
We're going to get to the point where they're going to take a Sharpie. Cut here.
Yeah. Not here on all my other body parts.
Oh, my God.
So you come out of there with all Sharpie marker written all
it's
over you.
It's too funny.
Yeah, it's crazy. Then while I was in and waiting for the patient, Jerry, I had a lot of time to read social media and read things. You know, I was killing time.
Yeah.
And a number of people sent this to me, and I wanted to get your take on it. So John Cougar Mellencamp, or John Mellencamp, as he goes by now for many years, he's restarted his tour.
Okay.
This is the same tour I went to. It's the same show. He's doing the same songs. He's telling the same stories.
Right.
So he was in Toledo, Ohio. Now, it was St. Patrick's Day, which I think does have something to do with this. It was St. Patrick's Day was Sunday. It was Sunday night concert. So you imagine some people may have been drinking all day.
Mm-hmm.
So he's at a point in the show where he's talking. Now, I've been to this show. He does not talk politics. But he's telling a story of his grandmother when she was dying, when he was a kid, he would lay in the bed with her and she would, you know, give him life advice and things. And there's a lyric in the song, which he's about to perform, which is, life is short even in our longest days. That's the point of the story. So as he's telling the story, someone in the crowd yells, shut up and play a song.
That's funny.
He is an ornery guy.
I'm sure he didn't take well to it.
John Mellencamp is an ornery guy. I think he tried to ignore it.
Right.
And then somebody else, maybe the same person, yelled, play authority song. And he went, you know what? Show's over. Left.
Really?
Walks out. People didn't know what to do. So I guess they find the guy who did this and they get him thrown out. He eventually came back, but he wasn't going to. He said show's over and left. Some people did get up and leave.
Right.
And the response, so I wanted to see the reaction on Twitter. So I went to the articles that were posted, and then I wanted to look at the amount of people that sided with the heckler.
Wow.
Was unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
And this wasn't Trump-Biden. This was a story about the song.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah.
Man, we suck as a society.
He did a political talk was about how both sides suck right now. And
I'm with him.
That was it.
Yeah.
But under the comments was like, they're right. We're not here. We didn't come here to hear you talk. Just play your music. Aren't you there for the stories about the songs
and the artist
as well?
Yeah. It's all because otherwise, just play an album then.
Right.
I mean, if that's the case, play an album, put a couple of people up there and make it like a show. But you're part of that. I don't need them to talk for a half hour.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But I like when they interact with the crowd in between like every third or fourth song. The last concert I went to is the only reason I reference it was the Pink concert. And I would say like every four or five or six songs, and she played like 20 songs. And she probably interacted with the crowd like four times. And each time it was like a minute. It was nothing crazy.
Yeah.
She told the story of her father who, as she was, I forget her first song. God damn, I can't think about it. So I'm a rock star. You know that song. But whatever. So What? I think that's the name of the song.
Yes.
So What? I'm a rock star. So I guess that was her first big hit. And she tells the story how, like, a few years into her career, when she's really hit it big, her dad's like, you know, you've done well, but you really need, like that song. And she's like, yeah, Dad, So What? It went to number one. And the crowd laughs, and then she goes right into the song. I think that's great when you give a little backstory. For people to side with shut up and play a song, that stinks.
Yeah. In fact, I've been to shows where, like, I think when I saw the Lemonheads in Asbury Park, I loved the Lemonheads.
Okay.
I don't think that guy talked, Evan Dando. I don't think he just went song to song. And I was like, I like to hear a little something.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's just weird. Like, I don't know if this is just a social media thing where people want to come to the defense of the people clearly in the wrong. And I don't know why. What about social media is it that you want to defend the person clearly in the wrong?
Well, I think the bigger question is, why are people so free to speak out on social media? And that's obvious. There's no recourse.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, aside from people attacking you on social media, and God help you if you actually have to delete an account, but you're anonymous for the most part. We can't be, but most people are relatively anonymous on social media. You can say whatever the hell you want to say. And even if people yell at you, So What? Delete. And it's over. You go on with your life. For people that are affected by it, it sucks. It really does. But I really think that's the answer.
Yeah. And what's funny is, like, if you're at the concert and John Mellencamp leaves and you've paid for your ticket.
All right, kick that guy's ass.
Yes.
Like, he just ruined the night.
Yeah.
And there's, I do believe, too, there's a fine line between, you know, interacting a little bit here and there and talking way too much.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound like talking way too much at all.
No. He was just talking about some of the songs, playing some of the songs, his hit songs, his non-hit songs.
And we also have no attention span as a society.
Yeah.
We don't.
But I thought, like, John Mellencamp is 70 years old, 71 years old.
Does he need this?
And who's at those shows? You should not be the type, like, that should be a show of old people that's not yelling at the artist.
You would think.
That's why I'm wondering if St. Patrick's Day
brings out the best in people.
Yeah, like, was this guy just drinking all day long and then got to the John Mellencamp show?
It's possible. But then again, people are drinking in the parking lot before these concerts anyway.
Yeah, right. You know, that's true.
Maybe more because it's St. Patrick's Day. Maybe instead of 70% of the crowd drinking, maybe it's 90%, but you're still going to have dumb, drunk kids and adults at these. When I say kids, 20-year-olds and, 20-year-olds, not 21, that are still doing stupid things. But that stinks.
Yeah.
Especially with how much tickets cost.
Yes.
Like, God, come on. You know, Kelly Clarkson's in Atlantic City on May 9th and 10th, I think, or 10th and 11th. I forget. You can't get a ticket for less than $400.
I do not.
You got to be kidding.
I do not understand what is going on.
I don't either. Because not only that, if you want to then stay at the Hard Rock where she's playing, the room's $500. So the room's $500. The tickets are $400 each. So we're at $8,500, $1,300. Go out to dinner, a few drinks. You're talking a night in Atlantic City is $1,700.
Yes.
You got, I mean, come on. What?
Right, for one night.
No thanks.
And then someone yells at her and she leaves the stage.
You never know.
Play Since You've Been Gone. We're going to get to it.
The way you do that actually sounds very funny.
It's so great. Oh. Shut up and play a song. Oh, man. Ooh, that John Mellencamp, he's an order of fella, Jerry.
Oh, man.
I found a cool YouTube page you might be interested in.
Okay.
It's called Top 2000 A-Go-Go.
Okay.
But it's a... It's a page on an account on YouTube where they talk to artists about a particular song of theirs.
Okay.
Like looking back on it. And it's really interesting. They have such a wide variety. The one that caught me because it was just in my suggestions, And then after I watched it, I was like, let me see what else they do on this channel. Mm. But it's all that. It was the Crash Test Dummies.
Of the mm-mm song or whatever it's called?
Mm-mm song. But they talked to the guy now about the song. And it was really interesting. And then I was like, oh, what other ones did they do? And they have such a wide variety of artists. And if they don't have the singer who did it, they really want it. They really talk to the person who wrote it.
Oh, okay. So More so than just the artist.
Yeah, so sometimes it's not the artist. Sometimes it's the person who wrote it. But that guy, he said he wrote the song and he cut the demo like that and gave it to the band and said, I have all the verses. I need a chorus for where I put mm-mm-mm. And they go, this is great. Let's just leave it like this.
Really?
Yeah.
And then so that was supposed to be more words.
Yeah, he did. He wrote the verses first about they're all.
Once there was this boy who. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they're all stories about, I forget how he put it, but they're all linked, these stories.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he didn't know what the chorus would be, so he was hoping the band would.
And the band went with, no, the chorus is perfect.
Yeah, they're like, you know, this kind of sounds good like this.
Did they ever do anything else?
They had, I believe they had a song with Superman in the title, the name Superman in the title.
All right.
They had one or two.
One or two.
Yeah.
And what was this called again?
This is the thing on YouTube is Top 2000 A-Go-Go.
A-Go-Go.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I saw a bunch on there, and they're about 7 minutes long.
Okay. It's all perfect length.
Yeah, perfect length.
Perfect length.
And there's all sorts of genres. There's from classic rock to alternative to country to... I watched the one Arrested Development talking about Mr. Wendell.
Oh, really?
Mr. Wendell.
Yeah.
Mr. Wendell was a homeless man who used to hang out by the studio and impart wisdom on them.
Really?
Yeah. So that's what Mr. Wendell's about.
How about that?
Yeah. But that's there's the one, I haven't watched it yet, but there's Phil Collins talking about In the Air Tonight.
Yes.
Because, you know, everyone thinks that song is about Phil Collins seeing a man drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And doing nothing about it.
Right.
When I know that's not what the song is about, but I bet you can get Mr. Phil Collins explaining the song.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
I'm trying to fix the one that I had for you, and I watched half of it.
What is it?
I can't. For some reason, it's not coming up on my phone. Because you know how when you're in the middle of one, it will sit there?
Yeah.
For some reason, yes. This is not sitting there, and I don't know why, but it's another one. It's so funny because I watched one on why the Mediterranean diet is by far and away the best diet if your European heritage is European based. It goes into all the reasons why you should lighten up on meat and why you should. And then the next one that I watched, and I wanted to send you this because you would think that steak is the miracle drug.
Yes.
And I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I don't know.
I saw one very similar yesterday.
This guy is talking about how has been in the best shape of his life. His back pain went from a 9 to a 1. His daughter had a baby. She couldn't stand up. She'd be in bed crying. She starts eating meat and she feels great. And this other guy, 61, he went from 300 pounds to 190. He's jacked and it's all about eating. I'm like, I just watched one that told me to ease up on the beef, Mediterranean, and then this one's like meat, meat, meat. What?
The meat thing, Jerry, that's the new CBD oil. It cures everything. It's CBD and meat. I think if you have any problems in your life, if you eat meat and rub CBD lotion on you, you're going to be fine.
Optimum health.
Yeah, optimum health.
Oh, my God. And then I get an advertisement. I got to tell you, it was a good one. I almost bought it. And maybe I will. It's this olive oil that is supposed to be the new wonder drug.
Ooh, okay.
That, yes, you can cook with it.
Put it on your meat.
You can put it on your meat, sprinkle it on your salad. But they recommend you do a shot of olive oil every morning to start your day.
Oh, is that right?
Of this specific olive oil. This way you know you're getting the one table, you know, the one,
teaspoon.
The proper amount.
Okay.
The proper amount of table that you're supposed to, and you just do the shot when you wake up, drink your water, shot of olive oil, on your way. And then, oh, by the way, don't eat for 3 days because I want you to fast for 7. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, and I'm like, I was reading it and how they've enhanced the olive oil and it's the best olive. I'm like, I could see myself doing that. And then I lost track and didn't. But I was like, the meat thing is just like fascinating to me.
Meat is the new one, is the new miracle drug.
And then that was the other thing. He's like, yeah, you know, I figured, I knew I had to do something a little bit more than meat. So, you know, I mixed in an apple. And he goes, day one, no problem. Day two, I was all right. Day three, I realized the apple's killing me. I'm like, what? Apple.
I know.
Hey, come on. It's funny. It really is. It's mesmerizing, but it's funny. I don't even know how to take it anymore.
I don't either. It's very confusing because I follow all of these, what I guess I would call ingredients influencers.
Yeah, sure.
On like Instagram. So there are people that will tell you what are the good ingredients, what are bad, what to look for in the ingredients list. So a lot of them talk about the same things, right? So it's pretty consistent. And they're all in good shape and da-da-da-da. So one showed up in my feed of a woman who was heavy set. And here's my Costco haul. And it's all the things that I've seen that I've been eating for a long time. She's still heavy. So I was bored yesterday in the waiting room. I DM'd her.
Come on.
No, I tried to do it in a nice way.
Okay.
I just said, hey. I said, hey, I just found your Instagram. Thank you for sharing all of these clean finds.
Right.
How long, this is how I did it, Jerry. I go, how long have you been on your journey of clean eating?
Right.
She goes, since 2020.
Oh, boy.
Then I was like, oh, my gosh.
4 years.
Yeah. So now what? Because everybody I've been following for 2 years now looks great eating the same food she's eating.
Yeah. The only thing you could say is either, there's only one of two answers.
Yeah.
One, she's not, and she's just trying to be an influencer to make money.
Okay.
Which to me is probably the most logical. The other would be there are, and I've watched enough of these things now where they say everybody's body is different and reacts differently to the amount you eat. And like, there are some people that will say, it doesn't matter how much of this you eat, you'll be fine because you're eating good food.
Meat, Jerry.
Meat. A lot of steak. Perhaps for her, I don't know. Maybe she's still consuming 5,000 calories a day.
Right.
Good or bad, it's still 5,000 calories. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Now, her husband, I saw before and after him, he looks like he lost a lot of weight.
Okay.
He had a classic, like the big,
yeah,
giant,
yeah, yeah,
belly. So, and if they're both eating the same things, I don't know what's...
Well, something ain't working for her.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, she's had a couple kids, so is that... throw your body off and for,
well,
how,
yes,
long?
Hello.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
a couple of kids does throw your body off.
Kids shooting at you, yeah.
But usually you rebound years later.
Yeah.
Especially if you're eating like that for 4 years. I can't get through 4 months. She did 4 years.
Yeah.
If she did.
Right.
That's the other thing. She could be sneaking Oreos at night. Who knows? Eat
right,
great all
know.
Day. Then you go eat 8 Oreos at the end of the night and you shove 600 calories down your throat of sugar and crap and it ruins everything you did all day.
Yeah.
So it's
confusing.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to follow her journey, Jerry.
All right. Very good. You should start your own meat journey. Al's meat journey.
I'm just eating meat from here on out.
And beating it daily.
I'm going to beat my meat, eat my meat.
It's so funny, man.
And yeah, then do a meet and greet.
I'm such a dope.
Yeah. I'm telling you, those meat people. Woo!
Yeah, it's YouTube is an interesting place. It really,
yeah,
is. You can find everything from losing 80% of your body fat overnight by eating meat to paying off your mortgage, even though you don't make enough money to do it in 4 months, to where you can save up $7 million
right,
with the money you make today. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I love the ones who go, me and my wife, I make $42,000 a year. My wife makes $48,000. We paid off $300,000 in debt. In the past 2 years. How did you do that?
You didn't. You went into bankruptcy on everything,
right,
else.
What?
Oh, that reminded me. I wanted to bring this up. I know we got to go. So my son turns his ankle late December, December 29th. I try to go to a couple of different places for x-rays because it was a holiday weekend. I think it was a Friday. There, none of them were open, and I was forced to go to the hospital. Okay. There for 4 hours. Now, keep this in the back of your mind. Never once saw a doctor. They checked us in. We saw a nurse practitioner. They took him for x-rays. The same practitioner looked at the x-rays with us, said everything's fine, but you got to see a doctor because there's no break, but something's clearly wrong. It's all swollen. Okay, fine. We get our bill, I would say, first week of February. Now, the insurance picks up a lot, obviously, but we still owed $800. $400 went to a doctor that we never saw. Then this was to this person, this was to this person. So Kim sends 50% when we get the first bill. Of course, it says due upon receipt, but we just got the bill, and it was a big one. She sends half. I get a letter in the mail yesterday. Not another bill. Letter in the mail. We've sent this to collection for your delinquent account. What? Send it. You sent one bill. We sent you 50%, and it wasn't a $50 bill.
Right.
And they sent us to collection.
Damn.
So I'm like, I'm like, you can write the check out. That's fine. I'm like, I'm writing a letter. So I didn't. I was going to call, but I'm like, that's not fair because God knows what I'm going to say.
Maybe yell at the person.
So I wrote a mock letter to where they had my name and my address. I put customer service in quotes and their address. And where it said, Dear Mr. Echo, it said, Dear Customer Service. And I copy, like I mocked everything they wrote and just said, your customer service stinks. This was comical, blah, 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 blah. But that's rude, though.
Very rude.
And if you go to the hospital and you don't have insurance, they still have to take care of you. And they don't pay. Meantime, right. We had no problem paying. Can you give us two bills? That's not right.
Normally, you get to divide stuff up at least into four bills.
This was one, yeah. Apparently. It really pissed me off, though.
Yeah, especially since you're paying for a doctor you didn't even see.
And I put that in the note.
Yeah.
I wrote something like, it's bad enough that I'm paying this amount of money for a doctor that we never saw. And I put in quotes, we saw a nurse practitioner. I said, but your quote unquote customer service is an atrocity. And I went on to say how one bill, we paid you half. I mean, God damn.
They code those things. So it's like, I know they're trying to get the insurance money. So they're like, you saw this doctor. No, but we didn't.
No, we didn't. And I don't know what you do about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because attending doctor, you know what he was doing? He was attending to someone having a heart attack on the fourth floor, not a 13-year-old that turned his ankle. But they billed us for him.
Right.
Terrible. And I'm sure they can come back and say, well, he looked at the x-ray.
Yeah, exactly.
It's terrible.
We emailed it to him, so you kind of saw him.
Right, exactly.
All right, Jerry, warm up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The New York Mets, for the first time in 15 years, are champions of the National League.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
Oh, good morning over there. Hello there, my name is Al. Nice to meet you. I'm normally here with Jerry, although I legitimately haven't talked on a microphone to Jerry on the warm-up show in probably 6 months. He's always filling in for someone. Everyone's taking vacations. This week, he's in for Gio, so it's a Boomer and Jerry. So I have CeeLo. Good morning, CeeLo.
Good morning, Al. Welcome back. We missed you on hump day.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I got a lot of concerning messages from my Twitter followers telling me you guys did sports yesterday on the show.
And we did sports,
They were quite upset about it, wanted to know why all of a sudden we're covering sports on the warm-up program.
I think we did a nice smorgasbord of items, but we did do some sports. Some sports.
Yeah, right, that's fair.
On the warm-up program especially. Yeah. Fleegs and I did a layout. So pretty much all sports.
You guys did hardcore sports.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to hurt my 100 share that I currently
understand.
Have.
But you know what? It worked out. It was the perfect spot for Fleegs right after the Jets signed Mike Williams.
Right.
You know, day after, morning after. Though we did a lot on the sandwich,
as you
might imagine. Yes.
I did see that, yeah. And I saw Mike Williams ate some of the sandwich. That was pretty cool.
He sure did.
That was pretty cool. I guess, you know, I like to think of myself as a conspiracy theorist. I love a good conspiracy theory.
Sure do.
I love a Joe Rogan episode. I love following Aaron Rodgers. I am in mostly for conspiracies. I must not have a conspiracy theorist's brain, though, because I was reading all the articles about this Shohei Ohtani interpreter.
Yeah.
And how the Shohei Ohtani interpreter has been fired by the Dodgers because he was stealing $4 to $5 million from Shohei Ohtani for gambling debts.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, this sucks for this guy. He got caught up in the gambling. He's what a cush job he had. Not that it's easy to learn two languages, as it is not, but once you've learned it, I would love to be an interpreter.
Good to go.
And I'm actually mad at myself that with all my free time, I didn't learn another language and then just become an interpreter.
You could still do that.
That'd be so great.
Is it Dabble? Is that
Babbel?
Babbel. Okay.
Babbel, and then there's a Babbel.
All right.
I heard that Babbel was named that language thing. Babbel is named out of some sort of there's some sort of document, right, Eddie? Some sort of historical stone. No, that's Rosetta Stone.
Yeah. Is the other.
It's the Tower of Babbel.
Tower of Babbel?
It's a biblical reference.
Because Rosetta Stone is actually a stone with some sort of interpretive language on it.
Decipher ancient language.
Yeah.
For an atheist, this guy's up on a lot of the biblical stuff.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Sorry, maybe atheist is the wrong word, but yeah.
But this is what good arguers do. Because there was a guy when I was in Tampa, Florida for many years, may he rest in peace, Mr. Bob Lassiter was a talk show host in Florida. Florida, a lot of Bible people, a lot of Jesus, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew that on his talk show, he would always be challenged by things in the Bible. So he became a Bible expert himself, even though he was not a believer. He used it so that he could make his arguments.
Okay.
Other. So Eddie grew up in the Catholic schools and that sort of thing. So
well versed.
In the Tower of Babel, the story was that humans were trying to create a tower so large that it could reach the heavens to, like, touch God.
Mm.
And God took this as an incredible act of hubris. And then they all spoke the same language.
Prior to this tower.
According to this story.
Mm-hmm.
And so God made everybody, made all the different languages, so they couldn't understand each other, so the work on the tower had to stop.
Interesting.
Mm.
Tower of Babel.
But it's cool. So that app where you learn a new language is Babbel or Rosetta Stone, the stone that would help you interpret other languages.
Right.
And that's where babbling, that word, that's the etymology of it.
Oh, quit your babbling?
People would just it to the other person who didn't understand. Now they were just babbling.
Right.
I think I believe that story.
That's
a good one.
It's a fact.
It's a fact.
I mean, not what the where the word came from, or that we built a tower and God
that we built the tower and God was no, okay. None of this nonsense. No more common language for all you folks.
You run with that one.
I'm going to run with that one.
We're off to a much different start than yesterday here. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I see this thing, and to me, I'm just like, wow, this guy's got a cush job. He's an interpreter. He's best friends with Shohei Ohtani. The money'd be rolling in. Why would this guy start getting involved in betting? But it's an addiction, like alcoholism, drugs, that sort of thing. But so I read all the articles. I'm like, this is really, it's tough for this guy. But I got to tell you, I get on social media and all these people are now just saying, oh, Ohtani's the one with the gambling problem.
Uh-huh.
Ohtani's betting on sports. This guy took the fall for Ohtani. What's your take on that?
My take is the timeline is a little confusing.
How so?
Some of it. Well, number one, and I know you weren't with us yesterday. We were watching that game live here in the studio South Korea.
Oh, okay.
And it would have had to have been, I guess, the bottom of the ninth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Because I saw the clip this morning and they were like, Dodgers are an out away from Ohtani getting a win in his Dodgers debut. And there he is in the dugout, yucking it up with the interpreter.
Like, oh, is that right?
Everything all looked good. All was well, smiling, laughing. 5-2 Dodgers come back in the eighth inning, and you would have never known anything was up, right? So now all of a sudden, hours later, the dude's fired and accused of massive theft. But Ohtani's name is on these wire transfers, apparently, allegedly. And I guess this interpreter was... So the way I understand it is some sort of investigation was going on. ESPN was going to run the story. And Ohtani's camp or lawyers or something went to them and told them to hold off, and they made the interpreter available, and that's where, you know, he said what he said about Ohtani had nothing to do with it, it was my fault, so on and so on. Like, it doesn't all add up. As Frank Costanza once said, something's missing. So that's the part where the timeline and some of the details, and maybe we'll learn more today. I'm not saying it absolutely means Ohtani's guilty of something, you know, nefarious here or whatever, but it makes you raise the eyebrow a little bit.
Yes.
Like, we got to do a little bit more digging here. Something seems off and not right.
Hmm.
And Dave Roberts was asked about it before for us this morning's game, which is coming up in less than an hour, I believe. And it was a lot of, you know, no comment. I can't get into it. I can't say.
Wow.
Though he did. They asked him did you feel like you needed to sit Ohtani down today? He's like, no, he's good to go. He's in there right now going through the offensive meeting, and, you know, he'll be in there, and it is what it is. He's prepared. And apparently the interpreter addressed the team yesterday.
Wow.
After the game or at some point, but they wouldn't reveal what he said. They were going to leave that up to Shohei, whether he wanted to publicize what the interpreter said to the team.
Wow, this is going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow this now. Now
it's
I'm locked
juicy.
In. It is juicy.
Very juicy.
The other thing, though, like Shohei Ohtani has, like, how much money? He's got, like, he almost has $1 billion.
Ohtani?
Yeah.
That's why he was able to defer all that Dodgers salary.
Yeah. Mm. But so I'm saying, like, if Ohtani was the one doing the betting, would he really be doing $4 million?
Only?
Or, yeah. I mean, for a guy like that.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of ways that, I mean, why would he get involved in that? Why would they use, like, essentially an illegal book now that sports gambling is legalized in many parts of the country?
Not in California.
Apps, not at all in California?
Yeah, not in California, which is where this
there's the answer to that question,
allegedly took place.
Okay.
With a bookie in California.
Fair enough, then. Fair enough.
Yeah, so at first I read this and it was just more like, it sucks for this guy. What a cush job he had, and now he's fired, and now he owes all this money.
Yeah, and C-Mac was asking on the overnight, and the other aspect of this is that the interpreter, I guess, told either ESPN or investigators. It's confusing. I've got to kind of get more well acquainted with all this, the information that's out there. He said that it was me and only me, but Ohtani was paying for the debts, and that's how they explained his name being on the wire transfers.
Yeah, there was a thing.
So McMonagle was saying, like, well, even if that's the case, like, because this is some sort of illegal operation in California, and it's Ohtani's money that he's paying to cover the debts, could that still put him in some sort of hot water or legal situation, maybe not with baseball, but with the state of California.
It's going to get this will be a story we continue to cover here on the warm up program exclusively. I don't think any other shows are going to be touching this. Yeah, this is
going to be. Stay tuned to the warm up show for breaking developments.
A warm up show exclusive. Boy, but I got to say, gambling is in the news today.
What else?
There
we
are
got?
Multiple yeah. gambling yeah. things. So all you right. got the Shohei Ohtani firing of the interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
You got Cavaliers coach J.B. Bickerstaff
mm-hmm.
saying that he received threats from gamblers last season. And he was getting text messages from gamblers threatening him and his family. And he reported it to the NBA, and he said, no charges are filed. He said fans have been yelling at him during games to leave guys in so they can cover spreads. Then, at that same, all this yesterday, the NBA League Pass is launching an in-app betting. So while you're watching the games on your TV screen, you can bet.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of these services are heading in that direction.
What year do you, what, how many years in advance from here do you think it's all going to blow up in our faces?
Years?
Yeah.
At this rate, it's taking be longer no,
than,
I'm kidding.
It's taking longer than I thought it would.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean.
As far as like everybody gambling on everything.
Everybody gambling or there being these like scandals involving.
Scandals, yeah.
Players, coaches, so on and so forth.
Yeah. Everything.
I mean, we've had a
from
few
the
of
top
them.
Down. From players in the leagues, coaches in the leagues,
right.
fans
the
of
leagues
the leagues,
themselves.
The leagues, yeah. the leagues, the leagues. So, like, everything is betting.
It is. It's in your face almost 24/7, nonstop.
Yeah. yeah. So, at some point, it's got to catch up with society.
I would argue in some ways. Way, shape, and form, it probably has already.
Maybe
not mainstream, but
yeah, it hasn't hit the real.
Like you're saying, like when is one of these major leagues, not you know Big Four or whatever,
yeah.
going to get exposed and like taken down? Essentially,
something.
Yeah, probably not that far.
Not
in,
that
in
far
the future.
Off.
The way it feels.
Yeah, because there was somebody else who came out recently and talked about gamblers trying to get in. Oh, it was a college football player, but then people thought he was like a third string quarterback or something. Why would they have gone to him?
Because
he's not in.
What about trying to?
Yeah, trying
throw
to fix,
games,
trying to
fix,
throw college yeah. College football
okay.
games. But they went to like a backup quarterback who
mm-hmm.
didn't even play.
Yeah,
which didn't make sense. He was saying this on a podcast.
Of course,
on a podcast
on
the
podcast.
Internet. So yeah, I don't know. You can't have like. These guys that were threatening the Cavaliers head coach, they said they had his cell phone number and were telling him like they knew where his kids went to school.
Oh my God. Why him
yeah.
in particular?
I don't know. I guess they want to bet on the Cavaliers
okay.
or against the Cavaliers. Maybe they were just able to get his phone number. Could also been just the dopey kids prank calling people.
Right, right. I don't know, man.
I used to love a good prank call when I was a kid.
Sure. They were more innocent back then.
They were. You would call up and say, is your refrigerator running?
Right, the old crank call.
Yeah. Is your refrigerator running? And then you say,
yes.
Go catch it.
Good one.
Then there was another thing. There was something in hardware stores, Eddie may remember this one, called Prince Albert in a... It was called Prince Albert.
They
I don't
did
know
that
what
on
it was.
The Simpsons, right?
They did Prince Albert
did.
In a can.
I thought so.
Yeah.
It's not one of the Bart Simpson calls.
I've never seen The Simpsons.
Ever? Not a
never.
Single episode
never,
in
not
your entire life?
Correct.
How is that possible?
I mean, I'm aware they exist. I've seen clips. I've never watched a
wow.
Simpsons episode.
I mean, I haven't in many, many, many years, but certainly as a kid growing up, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Just never.
Family Guy?
For a little while.
Interesting.
I did like Family Guy. I liked South Park. I love Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, okay.
That was a classic. But you would call up and say, do you have Prince Albert in a can? And
right.
then you say, let him out.
Yeah.
Could you let him out?
Right.
So they did that on Simpsons.
Maybe it wasn't Simpsons, but they used to, I mean, that was a thing. That was a running thing where Bart would call, was it Moe's Tavern or Moe's
yeah.
Bar or whatever. And, you know, hey, is there an alcoholic there? And he, oh, let me check.
Yeah. yeah.
Alcoholic. I mean, they did a bunch of those with, you know, play on words.
And then
and
there
names.
Was the one, Hugh Jass.
Yeah. Right.
And then there was the guy, I'm Hugh Jass. Bart didn't know what to do.
So there they would come up with a bunch of funny names.
There was an old tape people will remember, those of us that were around before the internet existed. And I don't know how these tapes used to get passed around, but there was, of course, the Jerky Boys, which that tape got passed around before there was an internet. I have no idea how we all got that cassette. But there was also one at that time, and maybe this is what the Bart Simpson stuff comes from, called Red's Bar. It was somebody would call Red's Bar and do all these cranks trying to get them to yell the names out in the bar as to looking for phone calls.
Right.
Red's Bar. I don't know how that stuff got around. I really don't.
It's one of those, like, not urban legend, but, yeah, it's just everybody had it.
Here's some
of the audio clips around here make their way around.
Yeah.
That's different now. I get it's digitized. But,
digitized.
Like, people that had nothing to do with a funny call. Oh, yeah, I know where that one's saved. Or I've got that one. I've got that one tucked away in my folder somewhere. I'm guilty of it.
Oh, you've got filters. I mean, you've got folders tucked.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know even how did I know who Metallica were? They were not on the radio. They were not on MTV. There was no internet.
See, is that just, I never knew that.
They weren't
on the radio or the internet.
Correct.
Huh.
How we
had spread the word on Metallica?
I don't know. That's what I wonder. NWA, Public Enemy, rap, the rappers. Those clearly weren't on the radio. They were filled with curse words.
Right.
They were wildly successful pre-internet. How the heck were we spreading these tapes around, CeeLo?
I literally just Googled, how did Metallica get so popular? First found commercial success with the release of its third album, Master of Puppets, 1986.
Yeah, prior to that, like Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning.
Interesting.
I mean, this was like, we would see kids with t-shirts on, and then you'd go to a record store and be like, I saw this t-shirt, let me grab this cassette.
They got the merch out.
Yeah.
And it spread like wildfire.
Oh, heck yeah.
It is wild. Like, we've gotten so used to the way the world functions and operates post-internet and cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not that far in the past that, like, it's just, like, if you hopped into a time machine right now and went back to, you know, 30 years, 94. We talk about that year a lot around here.
Yeah.
Like, you might not even be able to function.
Correct.
Because we've gotten so used to this.
I got a computer in 1997.
That's what I mean. That's why I went to 94, because I feel like I remember 97. My dad got the Windows PC at home.
Oh yeah,
the dial-up modem, America Online, the whole thing.
The giant monitor with the huge back on it.
Yeah, and then I would say the mainstream cell phone was not that far after that. Like, I remember my mom getting one probably right around 2000, something like that. I got my first one when I was a senior in high school, which was 2003. Little flip phone action.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not that far, not that long ago.
Right.
And it's the developments and the way we function now compared to then, it's like night and day.
Right. I mean, I was doing Eddie as well, working here before I had I had a cell phone, but I wasn't like running around it.
In Astoria, forget having a cell phone in that basement. Like, I used to leave the phone out by the front door because that was like the only spot where you'd actually get service. And I'd miss phone calls and text messages and be like, oh, sorry, you know. Like,
we're in the basement here.
You can't even fathom that in today's world.
Yeah, not now. Heck no. All right, CeeLo, when we come back, I mean, this is like a very CeeLo, I could do like a CeeLo segment coming up.
Really?
I mean, we got a coach referencing Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah.
We got old Mike audio in the news. I mean, this is like, those two things are right in your wheelhouse.
Oh, right up my alley.
Oh,
yep.
Baby.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the warm-up program. I've got CeeLo with me today. Hi, my name's Al. Nice to meet you.
Oh, hi.
Eric on the Twitter said the answer for finding Metallica for him was MTV.
Didn't you just tell me they weren't on MTV?
They weren't early on.
All right.
He said that's where I first saw Metallica, at Headbangers Ball.
Nice.
Helped a lot of metal bands become mainstream.
Well, there you go.
That's where I first found Ozzy Osbourne was on MTV.
What that year were we talking there?
Like 82.
What year did MTV start, give or take?
I think like 80, 81.
All right.
1980, 81, somewhere in there. But Ozzy Osbourne, they used to run concerts MTV on like Friday or Saturday nights at like midnight. Mm. They would just throw a heavy metal concert on. I remember seeing Ozzy Osbourne on there. That was a wild scene for me.
Sure it was. Probably still is.
This shirtless dude wearing mascara, tattoos everywhere. I love you all.
And Boomer was a guest VJ, yes.
He was a guest VJ one time.
Of course he was.
A video disc jockey. Mm. A video jockey. Yeah, so I definitely found Ozzy Osbourne that way. But I also used to see like kids in school on their binders, they would write Ozzy before I knew what Ozzy was. And then I'd go to Two Guys to the record section, and I would just buy whatever I saw kids wearing shirts of. I saw Blizzard of Oz. I was like, buy that.
See, those people were influencers before we knew what an influencer was. They were influencing young Al Dukes
they
and
were.
His music tastes.
Yes, just kids in the hallway at school.
I gotta go check that record out because so-and-so was wearing the t-shirt.
And then I couldn't believe like Blizzard of Oz had Crazy Train on it. That was not on the radio. Like there was no radio stations playing Crazy Train. And I couldn't figure that out. I was like, why isn't this on WPLJ?
Huh.
Or any W.
So how did that song become popular then?
MTV.
MTV, okay.
Man, then MTV, they were killing it.
They were.
Now you can't go to a football game without Crazy Train being at the kickoff every 2 seconds.
You get a lot of those songs that have kind of become like sports anthems or arena. You said football, but like arena rock.
Yeah, arena rock.
Anthems, yeah. That's a vibe playlist right
Oh,
there.
Yeah, arena mm-hmm. rock. Another thing I saw people in an uproar on social media today. This morning when I was thumbing. I like to go through the news.
Thumbing.
Then I like to go through social media to see what everyone's annoyed at.
Sure.
People seem very bothered that Marvin Harrison Jr. is not working out.
Yeah. He didn't at the combine, didn't at his pro day.
Right. So then don't draft him. But guess what? You know, people always start to compare. You know, if I couldn't just get a job with turning down an interview. Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't. But someone's going to draft Marvin Harrison Jr.
Who wrote that?
I don't know. Some weirdos on Twitter.
Some weirdos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just some randos.
Hmm.
I'm just saying, like we know none of these guys should be throwing on running on private. I just played 4 years or 3 years or 2 years.
Check the tape.
That's it.
Yeah.
Why would I go? Why would I, as a wide receiver or a quarterback, Caleb Williams, everyone says is going to be number one pick. Marvin Harrison.
He did his pro day yesterday. He threw.
But why?
I'm not sure.
All he can do is do something terrible. We all know what he does in games. So the only thing you can... Let's say Marvin Harrison went out there and whatever, had a bad day, was dropping balls.
Yeah.
No, people are going to be like, I don't want this guy.
Yeah, he can stand on his track record, his tape.
Honestly,
I don't know what the upside would be for Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Other than... Two things, just to go out and have some fun, because it seems like a foregone conclusion he's going to be drafted number one by the Bears. Or sometimes you'll see this, and I think Sam Darnold, it was something similar, also at USC, they'll throw to help their teammates who want to display their talents, and they want to go with the best option or someone they're comfortable with, a team, someone they've worked with,
like
throwing them passes. So, from that standpoint of Caleb Williams, maybe that's part of the reason or the sole reason.
That's a good one.
He's probably even spoken on that. I have not seen the answer.
I like that one.
Here we go. They're getting ready for game 2, Dodgers-Padres, and they've opened up the coverage with the Ohtani story. They're showing the interpreter both with the Angels and now the him being in the dugout in the ninth inning and them, I mean, it's wild.
Shohei Ohtani's interpreter has bad haircut.
He does.
This guy a nice haircut, will you, Shohei?
Yeah, well.
It's embarrassing.
Maybe he was too far in the hole with the gambling.
I don't know. Or he didn't want to, like, I have no time to go get a haircut.
Perhaps. I saw two quick ones on the Twitter regarding this that I thought were kind of funny. I'll run them by you, then we can move on. Let's see. I put these in my...
These are videos
Be good if I had them. Be good if I had them ready to go.
I see.
Ow. Where the heck did I... Oh, here it is. Okay. So here were the two that I thought were funny. Tell me if you like either of them. Forget prison. Put Shohei Ohtani back on the Angels.
All right. I like that one.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the other one, I think, a little deeper dive. The Dodgers could do the funniest thing by putting Ohtani and Betts at the top of their lineup.
Ooh. I like that, too.
Pretty good, right?
Mookie Betts.
Right. But Betts.
Ohtani Betts.
Ohtani lead off, Betts second. So you go Ohtani Betts.
Quick prediction for you, CeeLo. Will Shohei Ohtani get suspended this year?
Ooh, that's a good question. Now, I'm going to say no.
Interesting.
I'm going to say no. I think if anything comes of this, it'll be more of a legal California situation than an MLB situation.
But all right.
That's just a layman's guess right there, Al, because I have no idea what's going on. Something's missing.
Something's missing,
all right.
Long Beach State head coach, how do you pronounce this fellow's name, Dan Monson?
I meant to check on that myself.
I'm going
to
say Dan Monson.
Mm-hmm.
He referenced a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
Because he was fired, I guess, from Long Beach State.
Yeah, but he's still coaching.
Why?
That I don't know, honestly. I should. Eddie probably knows.
So he gets
his
fired.
Unexpectedly, they were one of the upset teams in the tournament?
Well, they fired him. They said you can coach in the conference tournament like your swan song.
Yeah.
And they won.
Yeah.
Oh, and they won. So now he's still coaching. But he says he's not getting paid.
Because he's
been fired.
Something about benefits, I think.
Yeah. So he said he feels like George, who couldn't get fired when George wanted to get fired, when he was working with the Yankees. Why did George Costanza want to get fired when he was with the Yankees? I forget why he wanted. Did he want to go to that? Is that when the Astros were trying to?
Yeah, there was something. There was a better, he thought, a better job or opportunity.
Yeah.
But the problem with this guy's reference, while I love and appreciate and respect that he would rope Seinfeld, I think he combined two episodes.
Okay.
Because you had the one where George was trying to get fired, and then the one where he did get fired but kept going to work.
Right.
That's the better reference,
right.
Which I think was he was going for,
yeah,
but he
you
got
think
a little
he got confused. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because that makes more
with
sense.
The Yankees, when he was trying to get fired, right, he showed up in Babe Ruth's uniform and got it all stained. He was dragging the World Series trophy around the parking lot with a megaphone. So,
right. This guy didn't try to get fired.
Right.
This Long Beach State head coach.
Yeah. So I think he gave parts of both episodes in his little soundbite.
He got confused.
Yeah, or just, he thought, hey, let me go for the low-hanging fruit Seinfeld reference here, which I do every morning here.
You love a good Seinfeld reference.
I always try to work at least one in, so I appreciate that. But I think he did combine them. Yeah.
You know, I was just thinking the other day, like, a lot of us have seen Seinfeld 100 times each episode. Not the same with Curb. Because Curb didn't rerun on regular television when we all had regular television.
Right.
Where you would just stumble upon it and watch it. Curb, you have to go into the app, into the thing. Like, I've seen all those episodes once.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Today's day and age, if they throw a rerun on, I mean, for Seinfeld, I mean, you can get it anywhere. It's on Netflix right now.
Right.
But, like, if it's on, you'll even sit through, or I will sometimes at least, the commercials just to watch the same episode I've watched a million times because it's there. It's available.
Well, I always thought that, too. Like, even when DVDs were the thing, like, I had all the Seinfeld DVDs. But I wouldn't put one on to watch it.
Yeah. I have them, too.
Weird. And Seinfeld I saw Jerry Seinfeld talking about this on their latest deal, I guess, with Netflix. He goes, I guess it's too hard for people to put the DVDs in, so now we're on this. Think about that show where they got paid to do the show, then enormous syndication, then getting sold to different companies, streamers, and the DVDs. They were when those DVDs came out, they were huge deals.
Yeah, I know.
Oh my gosh.
All of them as well.
Me too.
What is his net worth?
Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah. It's got to be large.
Oh, it's quite large.
Da-da-da.
What are we coming up
almost
with?
Almost a bill. $925 million.
Oh, man.
According to celebrity net worth, if that
means
anything.
I believe it.
Wow.
Let's take a quick break, CeeLo. When we come back, I've got the Mike Francesa reference that we want to get to. I've got a couple of NFL notes.
Oh, we always love a good NFL note.
Yeah. It's a good one, too. It's a non-NFL NFL note.
Oh.
It's an NFL note, but not about on the field.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then at the top of the hour, Boomer Esiason will be here. He'll be sitting next to Mr. Jerry Recco. It'll be Boomer and Jerry at 6.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I wonder what my mother thought when I was like listening to Ozzy Osbourne records in seventh grade.
Probably was concerned about you.
I remember a teacher one time in eighth grade, my English teacher, told me, please don't wear that shirt again to school. It was it was Ozzy Osbourne on a throne with what appeared to be blood and guts in his mouth.
Uh-huh.
With a little person.
Oh.
Dressed as a hangman next to him.
Yeah. Both things could be true now in today's day and age.
Yeah.
You would have been expelled for wearing that shirt, and the teacher would have been fired for telling you not to wear the shirt.
Yes. I can't believe my mother let me wear that. She says, I put on that Aussie shirt, and she was like, oh, good to go.
All right. If that's what you want to wear.
Head to eighth grade.
It's your life.
I had a Speak of the Devil shirt also. That was a similar thing where he was like mouth wide open with fake blood and guts coming out of
wow.
it. Meanwhile, he was singing very melodic, nice songs. I don't understand the image.
You were a dark soul in your adolescence.
I guess I was. These people that... I think people are pretending to be upset that baseball opening day was in Korea, South Korea.
Pretending?
Yeah.
South Korea. Seoul. Yeah.
I think they're pretending because they wouldn't have watched Dodgers, Padres, anyway.
Yeah.
Wherever it was.
Well, they were weeping for the local fan.
Okay, well, that's fine.
The West Coast, and the game started at 3 a.m., you know, Pacific time.
I understand if you're a Dodger fan or a Padre fan, yes. But, like, to be in New York going, I can't believe they did this on opening. Baseball is a regional sport.
Yeah, you weren't watching anyway.
Oh, you're right. You weren't going to watch it anyway. Right. If you want to watch highlights of Shohei Ohtani, there they are.
Yeah.
But to say like there and then try to compare it to like, could you imagine if the NFL took Patrick Mahomes and put his game in Germany at 3 a.m? Well, they wouldn't do that because the NFL gets viewers.
Right.
People watch NFL games.
Now, here's the other issue with this, and I get it. It kind of backfired on baseball. This series was announced last July before Ohtani decided to go to the Dodgers.
Oh, okay.
Now, you could say, well, you know, once he did, they could have adjusted. It could have changed the start time, so on and so forth. But, like, it's about the locals there in South Korea getting a chance to have Major League Baseball come to their city. Ha-Sung Kim from the Padres is a Seoul native.
You've
got the Ohtani aspect. You've got Yamamoto making his Dodgers debut today. So I think it's less about the viewers back here in the States. Like, yeah, it's on TV, obviously. But I don't think MLB was like, oh, yeah, here's what we're going to do. We want to get a lot of eyeballs to the sets. we're going to throw these games on at 6 a.m. Eastern on a weekday. Like, I don't think that was what they were going for. No.
Okay. No. That makes sense.
But the Ohtani thing did backfire on them a little bit. You could make the case they should have known because the Dodgers were always going to seem like be on the short list of teams he was considering. Perfect storm.
I mean, you better get your ass up and watch this because Shohei Ohtani is going to be suspended for most of the season.
That's right. This could be his gambling. It's the final game of his career right here.
They just showed
South Korea.
They just showed him live in the dugout.
Mm-hmm.
He looks happy as could be, not a care in the world.
Yeah, that's what Dave Roberts said. He's prepared. He's ready to go. And I didn't think twice about putting him in the lineup today.
So he's good to go, this Ohtani. By the way, nice guy, Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson. I mean, this guy is a gem, CeeLo.
Mm-hmm.
Just a gem. He was driving in Indianapolis when he saw a car with a flat tire on the side of the road and a man trying to wave down somebody to help him. Anthony Richardson pulled over, gave the man a ride to an auto parts store, gave him $200, and then drove him back to his car. The man did not know that Anthony Richardson was a quarterback for the Colts.
He didn't? I thought I saw a picture of the two of them.
He did afterwards.
Oh, okay.
He found out. He asked him while he was driving, what do you do for a living?
What do you do?
He goes, I'm a football player. I play with the Colts.
Right, yeah. And I was the fourth overall pick at the draft last year.
By the way, that was a bold move by Anthony Richardson. That guy could have been a scam on the side of the road looking to club him right over the head when he pulled over to help.
This is a young kid, by the way. He looks like, I don't have his age here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say in the 18 to 22 range.
Oh, okay, young guy.
And Anthony Richardson's a quarterback. He's not a defensive tackle or anything, but yeah. I think he could hold his own.
Yeah, but not if it's a scam. Like, there's a guy on the side road, you pull over to help, and like 19 guys
get out,
it's a clown car. And just
21, by the way, was this kid.
21 years old?
And he was with his girlfriend as well.
Oh, okay. Well, that was really nice of Anthony Richardson to do. I guess that's different. We're living in a different time and a different place, Indianapolis versus New York City,
yeah,
New Jersey.
Yeah, a little different, yeah. But it is good to see these stories here and there and remind us that good human beings do exist out there in the world still.
Yeah, like Anthony Richardson was like, you know what? I'm going to pull over and help this kid.
Yeah.
The kid said that he was trying to wave down tons of people and no one was interested.
So I guess we take back what we said about Indianapolis. That's really just about Anthony Richardson.
What did we say about Indianapolis?
You were just like, oh, it's different, different part.
Oh, I see, right.
Versus New York City.
Right. No one did help him.
By the way, I'm like, this kid's 21, but Anthony Richardson's 21 as well. I'm forgetting that aspect.
How about that? Like, we assume everyone watches football, you know, of all the sports.
Yeah.
This kid not knowing who Anthony Richardson is.
Well, you could watch football and maybe not recognize him. I mean, think about it. They're out there in, helmets, pads,
right,
and everything.
And Anthony Richardson was hurt a lot last year.
Yeah.
So he
missed most of the season.
Yeah, he probably wasn't as visible.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew.
The NHL's Winnipeg Jets. Why don't you set this one up for us, CeeLo, since I know you love a good Mike Francesa reference.
Yes. And what's cool about this is we did this yesterday on the show. You missed out.
Yeah.
So yesterday was Mike's 70th birthday.
Oh, nice.
So also Yu Darvish was pitching for the Padres in yesterday's Dodgers-Padres game. So sure enough, Funhouse had reposted the clip of Mike taking that call some years ago. I don't remember what year it was.
2015. I looked it up.
Okay, very good. Where the guy got Mike going down the path of, well, you know, when the San Francisco Giants come to town, like, do they get together with the New York Giants or the players? Or, and Mike,
that's where this whole thing started.
Dead serious, like, didn't understand at first, but then it's got to be one of the weirdest calls I've gotten in a while. But I think it was an honest question, which I don't believe it was.
See,
I think the caller knew what he was doing.
I heard you playing it in the newsroom, and I assume you'll have that later today.
Yes.
And I kind of feel like Mike felt like, I kind of think the guy wasn't trying to pull somebody's leg.
You think the caller was dead serious?
I do.
Now, Brian Monzo, former WFAN employee, was producing Mike at the time and is also a hockey fan. So this Winnipeg Jets tweet, which we'll get to in a second, was right up his alley. And he quote tweeted and said, I remember screening this guy and he didn't lie to me. He told me this is the question I want to ask. And Mon said he thought it was a fair question. So he put it through. I'm not sure I believe that either. I think he wanted to see how Mike would handle it. His reaction was.
Oh, yeah. I love putting through a weird call.
Right, exactly. And it ended up perfect because Mike then, after cutting off the caller, got sarcastic about it and was like, oh, yeah, they get together, you know, for the picnic in Totowa. And then transitioned into what we used yesterday. And the Rangers, the Texas Rangers, the New York Rangers do it as well. You know, they get together in Abilene every year, and that Lundqvist and Darvish are actually very good friends. They've got a kinship. So he had some fun with it. So I don't know how it got on the Winnipeg Jets radar.
Yeah.
But whoever runs their Twitter account put out essentially the same kind of tweet, except they tagged the New York Jets, of course. Hey, since we're in town, they just beat the Rangers the other night, and they're in town to play the Islanders and the Devils. Since we're in town, you want to get together Friday for dinner because we have the same name. It could be like the Giants and the Giants picnic in Totowa. So the fact that he referenced Totowa tells you this is specific to that Francesa call some 10 years ago now.
Right.
Right? So it's interesting to me that we played a part of it. Funhouse put the clip out, Mike's birthday, the Jets aspect, and you just wonder, you try to put all the pieces together.
Yeah.
Is this guy who or gal who runs the Winnipeg Jets social media account a Francesa fan, a New Yorker, or you saw the Jets volley back? Did you see that?
I did see the Jets volley back.
So
they
maybe
answered.
And the Jets social media account is hot this week because they went all in on the sandwich thing with Mike Williams. So I'm wondering if this was like an inside job and someone from the Jets social media team reaches out to the Winnipeg Jet. Hey, here's what we're going to do. You guys put this tweet out and then we'll answer and we'll get all kinds of reaction and engagement and attention and eyeballs. Like, I could see that being a thing.
I need a documentary on this alone.
I agree. I would watch it.
Absolutely. I would watch a short documentary on everything that transpired just today about this.
Yeah.
Let's get it going. Sports Minute. What do we got today?
Amy Lawrence, Odyssey Sports Minute. Eddie's giving you a 50% chance.
Wow. Okay.
That's high.
Oh,
he gave
man.
Fleegs a 50-50 yesterday. Mm. Got it wrong.
This is about Shohei Ohtani.
Nailed it. Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. By the way, CeeLo, how long do you think it would take me to learn Japanese enough that I could be an
interpreter? On Babbel?
Yeah.
With all your free time?
Yeah, like if I did 8 hours a day.
Yeah. 6 months.
6 months, I could be an interpreter.
I was going to say by Sunday.
WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1, New York. Always live on the free Odyssey app.